We are not supposed to succumb to the things that the adversary brings. We're supposed to resist the devil. We're supposed to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. If we do not resist him, he will continue to do the things that he's doing, and they're not beneficial to anybody. Hallelujah. The scriptures tell us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Now, in the book of Jude tells us in verse 3, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So there is we are being told to fight. From what I can see from scripture, we've been told to fight. We're not told to succumb to whatever the devil brings. If they label you with something that is contrary to the will of God, you're not supposed to accept that thing, because it's first a wile of the devil. It's a missile from the devil. And you're supposed to stop the missile in its tracks with the iron dome of faith. If your shield of faith is not up, and the enemy shoots a dart at you, a missile at you, and you allow it to stay, then you are in trouble. But what does God say to us? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." So all the armor that God talks about, the believer is supposed to have it all. Hallelujah. We have the helmet of salvation. Praise the Lord Jesus. We have our loins girt about with truth, which is the reality of God, or as God sees things, as things really are. No lie, the Bible says, is of the truth. There is a balance between natural things and spiritual things, but in all things, the spiritual supersedes the natural. Hallelujah. So those things, we must have them. We must believe that we have been made righteous and live rightly, live according to the will of God, be doers of the word of God. Hallelujah. Because if you have a gift of righteousness, yes, Jesus has done everything to qualify us for all that God has for us. Amen. Along with it was making us new creatures. The new creature lives according to the will of God. We read that in the book of Ezekiel, that God has put a new spirit in us, made us, given us a new heart, a new spirit, put his spirit within us for us to live for him. Amen? So he's in us. Hallelujah. The scripture says, "Through knowledge shall the just be delivered." So if there's a problem, what you need to find out is, what is it about this thing that I do not know, that I need to know, so I may resist it, all right, You know, the world says knowledge is power. So when I get to know what it is, I can take authority over it. Amen? All right. So I also need to know what the gospel is. Amen? I need to know what the gospel is. Hallelujah. I need to know what the foundation of the gospel is and stand firmly on it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. All our righteousness, personal righteousness, outside the righteousness of faith, the Bible calls them filthy rags. All right. So it talks about us taking the shield of faith. So I'm supposed to take it. I can leave it or take it. I can choose to do nothing when something happens or do something about it. So some people don't want to do anything. And if they don't do anything, the enemy is going to keep running wild and causing a lot of mayhem and destruction. If you bring a bull into a China store, now let's say we allow the bull to just do whatever it wants. I say, oh no, I love the bull. You know, I got to show the bull love. You will have no China in your store. Okay. So that is the same way that the Christian is not supposed to allow the devil come in and run circles around you. If you do, he will carry out his ministry. He has three things in his ministry. The Bible says the thief in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's how we know the ministry of the adversary. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, this thief here represents not just, you know, the devil showing up physically, but through his agents and agencies, or he decides to show up physically against someone. He's still the thief, and he's still the same authority. Let me explain that. Whether the devil shows up through a proxy or shows up by himself, he's still the same devil and you have the same authority. If Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So when it comes to having life, beauty, good things and all of that, peace, joy, righteousness, you're talking God, Jesus. When he's stealing, destruction and killing, you're talking the adversary. That's his ministry. If we do not use our faith as children of God, the adversary is going to use his threefold ministry against the believer. And we have said it before, crying, if you cry, that's okay. It's an emotional expression. But it doesn't do anything. When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept, the Bible says. That's the shortest verse in the whole Bible. And Jesus wept. He wept, but that was not just what he did. He then gave a command. It was the command, not the tears, that brought Lazarus out. If he cried and said nothing, Lazarus would have still been dead. Hallelujah. It is important for us to know what is important. What is the real weapon? All right? Faith is a weapon. Don't think that it is just there for nothing. Faith is a weapon. And where the knowledge of the will of God is not known, faith is not possible. So one of the first things you need to establish when you're about to face an adversary is, what does the word of God have to say about this? What does God's word say about it? Does God's word say that I'm going to be crazy, depressed all my life? That's my lot in life. That's, you know, is that what he says? No. Hallelujah. We find these things only in the Old Testament under the curse of the law. We don't find it in the new creation. Christians suffer in the Bible because of persecution. You never see where the Apostle Paul was depressed. No. He went through pressures so that he could tell us what God had for us. For those, you know, the Bible says that we should be ready, all right, to encourage others. with the consolation that we're consoled with or comforted with while we were in trouble. I'm paraphrasing it now. Praise the Lord Jesus. So now somebody is faced with a situation. Sometimes some of the things that causes this thing, that causes this situation is the fact that people either took a medication, a wrong medication, and it affected their system. Sometimes that is how it comes. Now, whatever the reason is, as far as we are concerned on God's side of things, we don't care. It has the same underlying solution, the Word of God. The Word of God is the law of the universe. God's Word controls everything in the universe. God's Word holds everything together. Hallelujah. The Word of God is final authority in the universe. Praise the Lord. And we are children of God. Amen. So we started by looking at what do we have? What do we know? We know that we have been redeemed. Glory be to God. All right. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Now, what is redemption? Now, the dictionary tells us, Webster Dictionary says, it means to buy back, or to repurchase, or to get back, or win back, or to free from distresses or harm, to free from captivity. Now, some of it are from the CWSB dictionary, all right? That is the Greek word redeem, that is a redemption. I'm putting them together, praise the Lord. It means to release from blame or debt, or to be free and clear. If you had a mortgage, when you pay it off, you're free and clear. Praise the Lord. Now, in the redemption, Jesus paid the price for us to be free and clear, free of debt to God, the debt of sin, the sin of Adam and Eve. He paid for it. It's done. It will never come up again. All the sins that we committed before we gave our lives to Christ, regardless of what they were, they are done. They will never come up again. It's a done deal. They only come up if you refuse to forgive men their trespasses. As God sets you free, he says, set others free. Remember that you owe God more than others owe you. He said, "Pastor, you don't know what they did to me." All right. But you don't know in the realm of real things, reality, truth, what you have done. So, God says, Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. When it comes to redemption, Jesus has paid the price. He's paid the price for me to be well. He's paid the price for me to be rich. He's paid the price for me to have my needs met. He has paid a price for all my sins to be forgiven me. And the beginning of righteousness is when I receive Jesus into my life. And he gives me a free gift of righteousness, a free gift of right standing with God. I become a right stander with God. I come into right standing with the Lord. I have peace with God. I may not feel any different. It doesn't matter. Legally, I'm in the good books of God. I might still be thinking, "Oh, you mean he forgave that? Oh, are you sure he forgave? Did you really?" Then you get close to him and say, "Are you sure you're good with me?" Now, God is good with you because of the blood of Jesus. It's a legal transaction. Regardless of the feelings, the transaction is done. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Our sins are forgiven us for his name's sake. It's gone. There is no record that it existed. It says, and I will remember their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's dead and gone. It's finished. The only person who remembers it is the devil. Sin is the door to curses coming into a system. If it's not there, it is not supposed to exist. Now, some of the reasons also that people have issues of depression and all of that when they're believers is that they have sinned. They committed a sin which they felt they shouldn't have, and they're beating themselves over the head with it all the time. Oh, how could such a one as I have done such a thing? How stupid could I have been? And all of that. All right? Some of us have been crazy. What was out of my mind? Yeah, God is the savior of people who have lost their minds. The issue is you need to get over yourself. We used to say forgive yourself. Get over your big self. Get over your righteous self. Your self-righteous self. And submit to the righteousness of God. God to God is as important what you do after you've done something wrong as that you didn't do anything wrong. Under the new covenant, Jesus paid such an awesome price that he's dead and gone. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge it before God, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what happens. So in spite of the fact that you're having emotional roller coaster on it, your sins have been forgiven and you have been cleansed and you have been brought back to right standing with God. Amen? Which means that the anointing is flowing. Your fellowship has been restored. The enemy can still come and hang there and say, you did it wrong. You did it wrong. You be pretending now. I'm telling you, God's going to get you one of these days. If God don't get you, I'm going to get you. It doesn't matter what he thinks. God, there was a reason why God put these things this way. He put a lot of things in our domain. He wants us to know. True knowledge shall the just be delivered. Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. And if we know he hear us, then we know we have the petitions we desired of him, including forgiveness. I've asked God for forgiveness. He has forgiven me. I don't feel forgiven. It doesn't matter. It is not a feeling. It's a legal transaction. I like to say, you know, some people say we're very legalistic and all of that. You're being childish. You don't know what you're talking about. This thing is a legal transaction first. People major on the vital feeling, the vital relationship, the vital fellowship when you start feeling good. Feel good will come after you have believed the truth. The truth is a legal transaction. Jesus paid a real price for you and I to be free. It's a legal transaction. He loves you and he wants you healed. He's already said that. So there is no emotion about it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he says, he begins to teach us by the Holy Ghost, and he says, God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, strength of mind, dunamis, ability to cause changes. He's given it to us. And of love and of a sound mind. So I cannot lose my mind. I have a sound mind given to me. in Christ Jesus. Everything you see in the scriptures, the Bible says, we are made partakers of the divine nature through the promises. And it tells us what to do. In Philemon 6, it tells us what to do, that the communication of your faith might become effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you by Christ Jesus. So I acknowledge the fact that I have a sound mind. So if I do not acknowledge the fact that I have a sound mind and I took the things that the shrink said about me, what happens? I establish what the enemy has given me. The Bible says, hallelujah, you shall decree a thing and it shall be what? Established unto you. So if you decree insanity to yourself, it will be established. So I keep telling myself who I am. I keep reminding myself. David said, I have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So when you do not know what the word of God is saying, you will be defeated. The enemy will defeat you. That's why you need to study the word of God.